What's up? This is the Capoeira Podcast. I'm your host, Professora Esperta, also known as Jamie. Yes, we are back, at least for this time. I don't know, I've met so many people, everybody wants me to keep going with the show. I've just gotten super busy because I'm an adult now, but I really wanted to just record this intro real quick. So, this was taken around, I'd say, March of 2018. Of last year, or even 2 years ago, when I went to Portland to go visit my friend, and I ended up meeting with Nastia. I've met and known Nastia for a few years now. She trains now in Hawaii. At the time, she was living in Portland. And it's really interesting because, I mean, I've even changed since this episode, and we're in completely different places in our lives now. So in this episode, you'll hear her being in Portland. She's now in Hawaii. Hopefully she's enjoying her time out there. Now I'm a professora, where I was an instructora before, and I had just come off of really just training and just going to class and enjoying everything. And yeah, I hope you enjoy this little conversation we have. Hopefully you can deal with the audio. We kind of taped in a coffee house that got a little loud, but I mean, you could still hear both of us, and I hope you guys like it. So here it is.
My name is Nastia Andruko. My capoeira name is Morango, and sometimes it's Morango Savage, like wild strawberry, because when Pedro first gave me... So basically, we were just walking down the street in Salvador, and I was like, Master, I don't have a capoeira name, and I've been training for like 2 years. And he's like, you know, you're some kind of fruit. And then he was just like, Morango. And I was like, Morango is not, doesn't sound very tough. Like, Morango Savage. So usually I just go by Morango because it's too long.
Yeah.
And I train with Mestre Pedro Cruz in Portland, Oregon. Capoeira Salvador.
Portland's nice. I like
Portland
it.
Portland is awesome.
I'm just looking at like all the architecture and stuff. And
yeah.
I can give a fuck if it's raining. I don't have the best body, so layering is working wonders with me right now. I'm like, I'm so down to hide under this bomber jacket and hoodie.
Yep, that's kind of like how it works in Portland. I just wear sweatpants and sweatshirts 24/7.
That's like okay?
Yeah.
You go on a date like that?
Yeah, Portland is not very formal. Like, it's kind of ridiculous. It's how, like, people in the opera will be like in like regular pants and stuff. I don't know. I mean, people dress up too. It's like individual, I'm saying.
Right.
So I don't know. It depends on your date. Like, if you're going, just like, but you know what I mean?
I'm feeling
like
it out. A part of me wants to move out. A part of me was talking about moving out here a little bit, or I don't know what's going to happen with life and my job, but I mean, I want to keep my options open.
Yeah, and if you have restaurant experience, sounds like you have a lot of experience. Like, there's a shit ton of jobs.
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't know why I can't think that I can't get my shit together to move if I want to move.
Yeah.
I think it's also hilarious that we really only met each other once, and then like 4 years later, hey, I'm going to be in your area. Would you like to pick me up from the airport and shoot an episode?
Right. That's what, I mean, like, I've had amazing experience. It's like I said, like, hey, I just spent a month in Hawaii because of capoeira, of somebody I just met. And I went to Thailand for a week just because of capoeira.
How did you find capoeira out here?
I randomly decided that I wanted to do a martial art.
It's like you're walking down the street and you're like, I'm gonna do a martial art.
Well, it was just like,
just playing around with that.
I know, it was more of a gradual kind of like, like when something drips on your brain and like, I think I want to do martial arts. And I think it was also because around the time I started going to a meditation class every week and just doing like sitting down and just being quiet, and it's something just like came up that I was just like, I want to start doing a martial art of some sort. So I started like looking around, what martial art should I do? They're just so different, all of them. And My boyfriend at the time was like, have you heard of this Brazilian thing called, it's like capoeira or something. Yeah. He's like, I know someone that does it and they really love it. And I was like, what is it? So I looked it up and I was just, I saw a video of a hot, and I was just like, this is like nothing I've ever imagined would exist. Like, there's like music and people clapping, and then they go in and do these amazing things and like kind of kick each other's ass, but not. And so I was like, I gotta try it. So then I Googled it in Portland, and Pedro's like pasta was at the time was the first thing that came up. So I called Pedro because it was like, you want to try pasta? Call the teacher. So I called, and I remember he like answered the phone, and he must have been outside because it was like really windy. It was like shh, like to the phone, and his Portuguese accent was just like, I couldn't understand anything.
Like so hard.
I was like, I don't know what you're saying at all. And the only thing I could like decipher was show up, just show up. Yeah. And I was like, okay, I'll just show up.
What year was that?
It was like the end of 2008.
Okay.
So I think I started in like November 2008, and then my first bachata was 2009. Mm-hmm. It's been like a while now.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I know. I can't believe it's 2018. It doesn't seem like it's been that long. But
no, someone had asked me how long have I been training, and I can't believe it's been like 13 years or something.
I know. It's like,
what?
That's a teenager. Like that. That's a middle schooler right there. And I still feel like it's not enough or something, or not high enough.
I'm still a beginner. Yeah, that's how I feel.
A little bit. And in a way, when I think you become a teacher, I definitely feel like I'm a beginner teacher. Like, my teacher's like, it's like you started college courses and now you're a freshman again, but you're not a freshman in high school.
Right.
And so I'm just trying to figure that out. So then you started doing that, and you just kept on going just consistently.
Yeah, like, well, at first year, I didn't go very consistently.
Yeah, everyone's
like
that.
It was like, because I was doing rowing crew.
Uh-huh.
And I started doing it in college, and then because it was just a club, it wasn't like a competitive thing. But then after I graduated college, they had this all women's team in Portland, and you had to like try out and you had to row with them 3 times, and then
sounds
they would approve you.
Yeah.
And they were all these really badass women, just like, one of them is like a robotics professor, and the other one is, you know, it's just like these amazing women, and they would just like tough.
Yeah.
So you had to like make the boat, and so I made it.
You had to make the boat?
Yeah.
Like instruct a boat.
No, you had to like make a boat as in like, there's only 8 people in the boat.
Oh, okay.
So you, like, if there's more than 8 people, they're going to cut.
Right, right.
Or they're going to put you in, like, a different
alternate
boat
or something, yeah.
So I, like, I made it, and I didn't want, and I was just like, well, I'm doing this. And so it was every morning, like, 5 in the morning at the boathouse. And but then I also started doing capoeira, and capoeira was at like 7:30 p.m.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh shit, you know. And I kind of struggled between the two because I really started loving capoeira, but I didn't really want to quit rowing right away.
Yeah.
And then eventually, so I didn't go super consistently. I went, but it wasn't like I wasn't like, oh, people forgot that I was even there, but I wasn't like going every class.
Right.
I remember it took me like a couple of years to even realize that Pedro was doing like sequence classes. Like Tuesday we start this, and then Thursday we're gonna do the same thing but add something to the sequence.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, and so
I
didn't even register that.
Like that.
And then I started going like Tuesday, Thursday. I was like, oh, so if you go every time, you know what's up.
Which is how most classes are for anything,
really. Yeah. So I would say, and then we had a trip to Salvador in 2010.
How did that feel like for you to be doing capoeira where? Because everyone talks about this pilgrimage, and I've done it too, and it's amazing, and it's like an experience. I think everyone needs to do it.
Oh, yeah.
How'd that feel for you?
It was amazing. Well, that's when I ended up, like, quitting rowing before that, because I was like, I kind of want to start training a little bit, way more consistently before I go to Salvador. And also, like, the crew got a new coach, and I was, like, not super into, the new way of how it was going. So it's just like, all right. It wasn't a very hard decision at all.
Yeah.
Salvador was amazing and super scary at first. And I didn't speak any Portuguese. I don't know why.
Was it scary because you couldn't speak any Portuguese? Or did you get robbed?
No. It was just scary because not scary, but like I felt super stupid because when somebody talks to you and you don't even understand like one word, you're not even like, I think they said something about the house or something. Yeah. Like if you don't even understand, like, and you just feel like the dumbest person ever. You're just like, why am I here?
I don't think you feel dumb. It's just, you know, it's just in a language.
It's like
issue.
Isolating.
Yeah.
Of. So the second time was a lot better in that regard. Like, I could actually communicate with people, which was great.
Second time, what year was that?
2015.
Was there a difference when you were going there of your experience and the second time? I mean, I think it's one thing to be nervous because you're in Brazil doing it, but then when you go a second time, there's definitely like a comfortableness, and then also your ability. So, like, what was the difference of that?
Well, the second time I went, I had a knee injury, so that was hard.
That sucks.
Yeah.
And you're still training with your knee injury, or was it just an aggravating thing?
I was still training. I was trying to take it easy, and but I felt, the second time was a lot more just comfortable, and I felt a lot more confident, and like I went to Bachizado there, and I went in the Honda, and I had my knee brace, because my master was like, you need to put your knee brace on top of your wife. So everybody knows.
That's a good idea. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Put it on top of white.
It's like, just make it really clear, like, that you
don't fuck me up.
Yeah. And the hilarious part was, I went in the Honda, and the mestre I went in with was the first time we went. One of the other students played with him, and her foot ended up being broken at the end of that game.
Oh, man.
So as I go in the Honda at the Peggy Beating Bar with this guy, I just look at it, like, look at my knee, and I was like, this is just so perfect. Like, the, you know, it's just freaking perfect. This guy. So, but he played really nice with me, and it was like a good game, you know. I just had to, it was just like with the knee, you just don't know, like, it could be playing, and it could, like, twist around,
right,
or something.
Totally.
You could just do, like, one little step, or you could be doing 10 kicks, and nothing happens.
Yeah.
So you just, that's what is really frustrating about it, is that not knowing when it's gonna happen. But it didn't, so I went in, and I played, like, in the Honda a couple times, played some kids, played a mestre, played some people.
Yeah.
So that was cool. That was really cool.
So I always like to ask when people are from different schools, do you know, like, the lineage of your school? Because before it was Hasa, right? Which is funny because even though you guys have a new logo, I just think about your old logo.
Yeah.
I don't know why, like, and
yeah, the Hasa logo.
Yeah, and I'm just like, oh yeah, I keep forgetting you guys are in, like, under a new name now or whatever. But can you explain anything about your legacy of, or like the lineage of, or the history of your school where you guys come from?
Well, so I'll just start with Hasa. I don't want to go, like, more deep than that.
Yeah.
I know it has, like, to do, I know it's related to Mestre Bimba, and then Mestre Medicina is in charge of Hasa, so down in Muritiba, and he's, like, really close and concerned with Mestre Sosuna, and Mestre Sosuna goes there every year to the Rechazan.
Yeah.
So Mestre Medicina is Hasa, and then Mestre Pedro Cruz trained with Medicina for a long time. And I'm not sure how it happened, but then he became a student of Mestre Sheena. And Mestre Sheena is a student of Mestre Medicina.
Mm-hmm.
So So Pedro was like the official student of Mr. Sheena, and then when was it? A couple years ago? 3 years ago? Mr. Sheena decided to kind of break off and do his own school in Salvador because Mr. Sheena's Murichiba and they're not really physically close.
Yeah.
Geography wise. And I think there were just some differences with how they wanted to run stuff. And Mr. Sheena had a lot of really advanced students. He still does. He has a lot of advanced students at the facilities and stuff.
Yeah.
He decided to break off and make his own school, Salvento. And so he told Pedro that Pedro can have a choice of either being Salvento, staying with Hafsa, or starting his own school. So Pedro, the first bachizado, when that happened, we were Salvento for a second there. And so we have like, the full picture of like Salvento.
Yeah.
And then kind of right after that, Pedro was like, I think Pedro decided to kind of go off on his own. It just made a lot more sense. Like, we don't operate with the same exact rules. They have like a whole rule book, and they have like ways of like, everybody has to contribute a certain amount of money, and
there's a lot of schools like that.
There was a lot of rules that didn't quite make sense for us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Bulao, he has like 3 students. Is he required to like pay Ms. Pashina? Like, you know what I mean? It's just kind of like, this is cool. But yeah, so Pedro decided to be Caporazo Salvador, and then we made our own logo.
Oh my god, yeah, I didn't even realize Salvento too. Yeah, I think every time I would like double take it, you guys like change, which is fine.
Yeah.
Like,
it's I'm pretty sure it's done now. It's gonna be it's gonna be South Salvador.
You guys have been like South Salvador for a few years.
Yeah,
now.
Like 3 years.
Yeah.
Bilao down LA, and then there's Salgasso is teaching in Hilo also under South Salvador. And now we have Cumplido teaching in Washington, like in Camas. So yeah, we've got some, like we've already got some stuff, so it's kind of awesome.
You know, it's funny talking to you. I didn't realize you've been in Capoeira for 9 years. I think it's because the last time I met you was really the first time I met you, which was when we were in Seattle for like
that was a while
those 2 days. Yeah, it was like
ago.
It was 4 years ago, and I had just gotten my Monitora card, and I had come off a breakup, so I just needed to get away and be in Seattle. And I was just like, it was interesting because when we had gone there, like I said, there was that drama because the school had split that day in Seattle. And or that week,
yeah,
and then everything had changed, and we were like, what the hell? And then I didn't realize, and then Joan was like, oh yeah, like, the school's from up whatever, I don't know, like, state or whatever are gonna come down, so I met a lot of, like, the Oregon, and I liked you guys, like, I liked, you guys had a batucada, like, everybody seems cool, I think the energy is a lot different here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you've never been to LA, have you? LA's pretty...
No, I need to go down there.
I think LA is pretty interesting. I think I'm lucky to have a podcast out in LA because there's such an opportunity to interview so many different people because they're always in town for some sort of event. And I wanted to ask you, like, what do you think is the style of, like, the Pacific Northwest? Because I never got that message being in Seattle.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, Pedro always talks about how Seattle is so much different from Portland.
I think it is.
Yeah, and he's just like, I agree with him. I don't feel like it's really the same thing at all. Like, you can't really say this is, like, the way we train in our school is a lot more, I don't want to say it's regional, but you know how Mestre Bamba's Academy in Salvador and his student Casador and Kikiu are over in Oakland. I feel like our style game is kind of that style.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, the game will be a lot of kicks and like the way to like evade kicks in a weird way, or in a way that other in a way that's like unusual. Like, it's like kicks esquivas au. It's not
abstract.
A lot of pizzazz. Like, it's not
Like,
Pedro doesn't focus on, oh, today we're going to do voltas. Or we're going to do that kind of, like, we hardly ever train that in class. He's like, he wants his advanced students to be able to do, like, macaco, aubachito, ultimo, like, some floreos, but he doesn't put that as, like, your first, or what you really need to know. He's like, what you really need to do well is kick and be able to, like, move around in your space and, like, hold your space in the moda, as opposed to just, like, going in and doing, like, beautiful movements, but maybe not necessarily being able to, like functional as far as,
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, very efficient and practical and, like, working smart, not hard.
Yeah.
I feel like, Heijinal, there is a bit of that. But I think it's contemporary, I would say.
Yeah. Pedro always says, like, I teach capoeira contemporánea.
Yeah.
He's like, I teach capoeira, it's capoeira. Like, we will train Angola sometimes randomly. He'll be like, okay, low Angola game. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, what do I do? I don't know. Like,
I think Angola is like wine. I think I was telling someone, because when you get older, you start to appreciate it. Like, I recently, well, not recently, but when I had...
Like, I would watch those fodas on the Instagram or something. Mr. Bamba's foda, like... And it's just people kicking, like, Amada, Matelo, Au, and Luigi Pasa, and just going around the hot. And I'm like, okay. But the kicks are scary as shit. Like, they kick, like...
Can't be scared of that. You just gotta go in. I try to get as close as I can.
I'm scared. I just mean, like, it's a scary kick. Like, it's, like, for real. Like, it's not, like...
It's fast as shit, and it's a lot of strength.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like how we train. Pedro, he's at this point, I would say his capoeira has evolved since I've started, for sure. And he's kind of like gone to a place where he makes up sequences, and he'll just kind of... There's a point to each one, and he'll just kind of have us work on them, and then we'll go back to a random one from like a year ago, or
Like
a new one, or but a lot of it is kind of has to do with like being able to catch somebody like off timing and not freaking out if like you go in the hoda and the music is really really fast, so that your jinga doesn't become like that. Like you still stay calm and like. You still jinga and stay in control, and then you place kicks at the right time and place, as opposed to just like.
Have you ever? What kind of movements do you think is very pronounced in your school?
Definitely like esquiva baixa, negativa hole. Or like negativa hole into melody pass.
Yeah.
Bigachivas kind of, and like as far as takedowns, it's like banda, chisora de costas, a bunch of that stuff. Kicks.
Yeah.
Like just like switching kicks, like different, is just like the shoulder work.
Yeah.
So just like having your
a lot
shoulders.
Of pivoting.
Yeah, pivoting with your shoulders a lot. I would say that's like a big one, definitely. Just like doing a kick and then like kind of messing with the person.
Yeah. When you started out, what was something that you liked about capoeira in terms of movement, and what's like something that you're doing now as opposed to what you're doing back then? Like, I always call it, like, what's your candy that you used to do that you don't do anymore? And what do you do now?
Crap. What I used to do... I don't know. I always feel like I've always been, like, one of those people that's like, I can't do anything. And, like, I can't, you know, like...
I think everybody feels like that.
Thing.
Everybody feels like that.
And so, yeah, probably.
That's so common, you know?
Used to do... Like, right now, I do a lot of, like, passata, like, asado where you like esquiva and then turn back like away, like you face away from the person and you switch to another side and then maybe go into like chapajico from there. So I think like chapajico is definitely something I've like added a lot to my game, and I almost do it now. Like I'm like, crap, I'm doing that again. Like I should do something else because it's too predictable or whatever. So.
That's so weird how we sometimes, yeah, we think about this where I'm like, man, I'm just burning this out. Like,
yeah.
It's like a one hit wonder, but it's not. I think we get so into our heads, I think, when.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We analyze it too much.
Yeah, you're like, God, that just kept on doing that. And everyone's like, that looked really good. I don't know what.
It's like, yeah, what are you
talking about? Yeah. It's hard to be, like, okay with your game. Because I'm not. I feel like I've gotten so much worse about my game.
I mean, it's crazy, and especially if you have injuries, and then it gets all like, if you get too much in your head with the injury, like just like, oh my god, okay, so to do this, and then like
you just inhibit yourself.
Yeah, it's definitely like a point where I felt like, okay, now I'm like more in the game than before. It's, you know, like when you're like really scared a lot when you're like a beginner, you're just kind of like, oh my god, the hold on,
like I'm gonna look so stupid.
Yeah And then you kind of go, and I went into like these phases where it's like, oh, I'm it's great, it's great, I want to go in the hold on, and then be like, no, I don't want to go in the hold on.
I'm in that situation where I don't want to go in, like I'll be like, I'll take that drum, I will play that drum. And then eventually, like, my teacher kicks me off and be like, get in. No, like, you didn't play, did you? Yeah. Okay, we're not going to stop until you play, so.
Yeah.
And then it's fine, but I don't know. I just,
Yeah, and it's always fine. It's just,
it's
like,
always fine, but you don't want to be fine. You want to be, like, the best. Yeah. Or, I mean, I don't think some people want to be like, I do, but. When you're an adult, when you're, like, 30, it's like life takes over, you know? Like, I've been on my own for the last, like, year, and I've just been trying to not keep my head above water, but, you know, I mean, like, job takes precedence now. Gotta pay some bills, and I can't go to every hoda. It's either, like I said, be broke and, like, go to every fucking hoda and not being able only pay for one thing and not the other, or have money and not have time to do capoeira when you want
it. It's crazy how it is. Yeah. But yeah, like, it's like now I'm just like, screw it, I'm just gonna go in. I mean, unless it's like, it seems so aggressive, I don't know. But it's rarely now like that, you know?
Yeah.
If like at my level I'm allowed to go in, then it's okay. Like,
how do the levels work in your school?
So first belt is green. But, like, I know in some schools they'll just, like, give you a belt right away. Like
a rock
show
cord
up.
Of some sort. Yeah. Like
so we don't have that. We have, like, you have to go through your first specializado.
Yeah, like, we don't have cords until you get one.
Right.
Yeah.
So you got, like, you get your green cord. And then green, yellow after that. And then yellow. And then it used to be you'd go straight from yellow to blue, yellow. But Pedro introduced another cord in between that, because it would take like 4 years to go from yellow to blue yellow, so it was like he just felt like people would need a little more motivation, like something to work up to. So it was like, so now it's yellow, green, blue, and then
blue, oh man, that's yellow. A contramaster cord in our school. You wear one of those.
Yeah, it's so different. And then it's like blue, yellow, and then it's like light blue, which is what I am right now. And then it's blue, and then you're in Trucor, like, so then you graduated.
So you're kind of like a senior student, would you say? Or?
Yeah, like, I'm like the student that's like right before that, like, in Trucor line. So I don't know, like, tough to ask Pedro when the next step's happening. But
do you care about the chords?
Not that much, not really, no. Other than, as far as, like, it allows you to, like, go into a certain hoda.
Yeah, like, more access and stuff.
Yeah. But other than that, not really. Like, I kind of like not having that responsibility anyways, so it's, like...
How does that feel, like, to have the responsibility to, like, teach classes? You taught one in...
I know.
You taught classes in Hawaii. I was going to say, there's a school in Hawaii, too. I met her. She's super nice.
Yeah, so Anna, she's in Hilo, teaching. Yeah. It was kind of like by necessity, because she moved there and she didn't want to stop doing capoeira. So it's like, that was like her only choice, is to like do it on her own.
It's hard when you come to another state.
And now she has like
I mean, she has like 4 or 5 students that are super dedicated, which is
awesome.
That's
great, yeah.
But yeah, when I went down there, I taught a class, and that was fun. And I've been teaching at Reed, or being like one of the instructors at Reed College here. We have like 5 people that like switch off teaching every class. We have like a schedule of like, you teach this day.
Yeah.
So that's been pretty fun. So I've been getting like some experience just teaching and being in front of people and kind of like. I think Pedro started me on that when I was a year old. Just like go in front of people and like lead a warm up.
First, that's how it starts.
Yeah, and at first you'd be like, ah, oh my god, like, and then you don't know, like, you don't know how to indicate, like, oh, and now we're switching to a new movement, or like, and the next kick's gonna be to the left, and then you're like, oh, sorry.
I mean, that's how you learn, you know, what do you like to teach when you teach? Like, have you figured out a style of a format that you like personally?
I like to warm up with like a jenga and like going straight kind of in, like I want the warm up to be related to what I'm going to do in
right.
the class. Like if I want to do a sequence with like Amadas and a Matello, then I'm going to like warm people up, like we're going to warm up our hips and move around like with jenga and start like just raising our knee or whatever. It's
yeah.
like and I know a lot of people do like we do lines and crab walk and crab walk and all that, and I don't do that a lot, although sometimes you feel like, oh, I'm gonna switch it up.
Yeah, I can feel like it.
Yeah, but like my go-to would be warm up with like just jenga or different like variations on jenga or like steps to the side or
yeah.
stuff like that. And I've kind of realized that it's okay to really keep it simple, especially for the warm-up, as long as people feel like, you know, like you've got blood going to all your extremities and
yeah.
you've got like your heart rate up and you have, you kind of feel ready to start doing this. And then you just kind of like work into the sequence or whatever slowly, and then I would like add to the sequence. And now we're going to add Chisora, and now we're going to add this. That's kind of like the way I like to do it. And I try to put in a lot of possible, but it's not always possible.
Yeah.
But I like doing that. I like to do the hotter.
How is your music in your school? Is it very... would you say you're a well-rounded school, or is it more movement than music, or is there a lot of music?
I think we are well-rounded. Like, we have some people that are really good at music. But Pedro's been wanting it. He's also, like, been kind of, like, not changing, but evolving with that. But he wants music to be in a certain way. And we had a student. So we had a student, Cubrido. He's an instructor now. So he, like, trained in Hawaii for, like, 4 years with Shalva. And that's kind of how we ended up, like, being connected to that school.
Right.
So, like, I feel like now we have more influence from there with the music. But you know, we have like music class every Sunday where we go and just like jam on meeting bows and I really like color music. I like it a lot. And just like learning songs. It really, like, I started really feeling it, like, if the music is way off, you're just like, oh my god. It's kind of like, you know, nails on the chalkboard.
Yeah.
In a certain way. And it's hard to pinpoint, like, if you do this certain thing, the music is bad. Like, it's not, it's just that. I don't know. You just feel like if people are not together on the beating bow.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the other day, so we're trying to get like more beginner people to be on instruments. You know how it's hard when you're a beginner and you get on like a pandero and you're not quite like on the rhythm, and
so
then
someone will just be like, ah, let me do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so it's hard because then you don't want to try it.
Yeah, you get discouraged if you're a new student. Yeah. You're just like, you know, I don't want to go on it.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'll practice later and try to get on
right.
it again.
Yeah. Or even like starting a beating ball, like they're like, okay, show me how to play the beating ball, and it's like, dude, you don't understand, like you gotta like learn how to hold it first.
Yeah.
Like if you can't hold it, like you're screwed.
Yeah.
You can't play.
I remember putting it like between my legs, yeah, like perching it, and I'm like, what? Like, and then I remember practicing a lot, and then all of a sudden, like, and for a whole week, when I was really like starting to practice it like consistently, losing feeling in my pinky for like 2 weeks. It was like this perpetual tingling.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is going on here? Is there like, am I getting nerve damage? I don't know. And
yeah. So, this is awesome. So when we were in Salvador the second time, Master Tishina took us to Master Olavo's place, you know, the guy that makes all the beauty products.
Yeah.
And so it was really freaking awesome because he lives in a favela. He lives in this really tiny ass apartment in a favela in Salvador. And there's like a Hoda painted outside of the apartment. And it's tiny. And there's one tiny, tiny, tiny room filled with freaking bibimbaps. And so we went in there, and like, he's like, pick a bibimbap. So I ended up picking one. It was like three of us, Master Olavo, and we just like jammed on the bibimbaps.
And they're all strung up, or you had string in?
Yeah, they were strung up.
Oh, shit.
And he had like, and they were all like strung up with kabasas. And you could like switch out kabasas if you wanted, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so we just all jammed, and he like made up a song about us, and I didn't record it, which I really regret. But Mestre Sheena did. I don't know if I can get it.
You should get it. That sounds like an amazing memory. That's
it was
like
awesome. Yeah, and he like drew. You'll see it in class on Tuesday. He like drew on the beating file like this. This beating file belongs to Morango, and then he like painted a little strawberry on it. Super awesome. But like my pinky was numb for seriously a month.
How long were you guys playing music up in that room?
Like an hour maybe. And it was hot. Like he doesn't have air conditioning.
Because it's Brazil.
Yeah. Like I've been like really focusing on singing more lately.
That's good.
I feel like I'm improving. I don't feel like, you know that thing where you're just like
That's a while. I mean, that takes a while. It's hard.
Yeah, it totally takes a long time.
Takes a really long time. I think with girls especially, there's a sharpness that girls hit. And some teachers, I've even, like, heard it in them, and I'm like, why didn't anyone not correct this? Just the projection of voice. I don't know how long it took you. It took me a good two years until I figured out, like, what's my tone and what's my
pitch. Oh, yeah, at least.
How can I project it? And I've been trying to do harmonies lately where I've just been changing the tone and the pitch. And I think it's interesting. I think every capoeira song, there's certain templates where you can be like, oh, this sounds just like this, just with these lyrics. So if I do this variation, I know this variation.
That's what, like, yeah, you want to hit the pitch.
Yeah.
That's hard. You got to train. It's like you got to train yourself. Like, as training a kick or something, you train your voice. And it's crazy. Our Formado Canario, so he's like our music dude. So
I think, was he there in Seattle? I think I remember him.
Yeah.
So I think he just like made me laugh because he was just so in it.
Yeah.
Like he would live in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like so much.
And he gets hilarious because he's like, he's a math dude. Like he does math. Like he's, I think he's doing his PhD in math or got his master's.
Yeah, that just sounds insane.
Yeah, but he's also like, you know, this awesome music singer. And we just had like a thing where we made our own bibimbaps, like our own arames, and like we made kabasas out of like people.
Yeah.
And that was really cool. So he just like knows the instruments and he knows like all the stuff. So he's had, and he is like hands down the person that taught me music.
Yeah.
So I feel like I started going, I was green and yellow cord. He had like Sunday's music class, and so at first it was like a bunch of people, you know, and then it trickled down to like two of us.
Which happens, it goes up and down, you know.
Yeah. And then we like didn't have the music class for a while. But it was like, if it wasn't for that, there's like no way.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of schools, they will spend time on music in class. like, I know Ijesha does that, or Ijesha here in Portland.
We have an hour before movement.
Right.
It's all music.
Right. And we do not do that. Like, Pedro just doesn't. He's like,
he wants to work on music.
It's not like he like wants the music to be good and he wants to work on it, but he's kind of like, I don't want to, we only have an hour and a half. I don't want to spend this time doing that. I want to spend the time doing Coco. So we very rarely is just like, sometimes maybe if Pedro's out of town and he'll have like a student music class. But he just wants us to work on it on our own. And so like if it wasn't for Canario and his classes, there's like no way. I would have just done that by myself.
Yeah.
I'm like not that person that's just like, I'm gonna do this on my own, and like, you know, like people like do their yoga every day on their own. Like, I need somebody to like stand there with a freaking whip and be like,
it's hard to get started, but once you start, like,
it's true, that's true.
I think even doing it like 10 minutes a day is fine, because if you add that up for like a whole week,
like, it's just like such an effort to keep forcing yourself to like keep going until you feel that flow,
yeah.
Because it's so hard. If you don't feel the flow, it's just, it's like a struggle. You don't want it to be a struggle. You want it to be like, oh, you know.
Yeah. No, I think, yeah, if you want to set that flow, you have to just know what you're doing on it. Because especially if you're the only person, or if you're one of three or whatever, that can set that tone.
Yeah. No, it's definitely hard.
I wish you went to one of our... We threw an event where it was just music. We flew down Mesa Paranalonga, and it was amazing because it was all... I mean, we had, like, I think one or two movement classes, but everything was beating bow, and it was just straight-up singing. I think the hardest part were, it was all in Portuguese, so, like, it was being translated, but I wish I could hear his context of it, even though it was just like a translation, though there's a translator on hand, so you can actually connect. But it was really amazing to sit with him, and just, and the way he does music, I don't know if you've ever heard his style of singing, but it's, his energy and his like charisma is so insane, and it comes out of nowhere, because he'll like just go in a room and just like, you know, and like he'll start like very simple, and then all of a sudden he hits like a high note where it just like pierces your soul.
Then, like, I want to be able to do that.
It takes time. I know. And he even says that. It takes so much time, and no, it was amazing, and I don't know, just like his variations, and like he was singing with variations, and I think that's like such an advanced thing to do, is to go into a full on variation where you just stray away from the music, but you're still singing it.
But you're not like off. Yeah, it's like the jazz.
So, yeah, it's super jazz what he was doing. It was, like trained at a CDO school or like at Angola school.
I went to Hawaii. When was this? In October.
That looked awesome. Did you just like, were you just like, fuck it, I'm going to Hawaii?
Because Japa students, the domestic Japa students, stayed at my place for the bachizado, for our bachizado.
I couldn't believe they went to Oregon. Like, I was like, they're in Oregon. That's so,
I know,
not
they,
Hawaii.
And they never go to events, which is awesome that they.
I thought that was crazy.
Event.
Yeah.
I felt super privileged that they came to our event and then they stayed. Japa and Muta stayed at somebody else's place, and like three other people stayed at my place, and we just like, it was super weird, but it's like we're all soulmates. Like,
yeah,
we
you
all
just click.
Just
I love that. I could tell even by the pictures. Like, it's not like I was even with you guys, but I can just tell. I'm like, oh, I like when that happens.
Yeah.
Like, it just clicks.
Yeah, it's just magic, you know.
Yeah.
And then one of the students was like, you should come to Hawaii and house sit for my mom, because my mom needs a house sitter. And so I was like, dude,
okay,
don't joke around, I will do it, because I'm totally unemployed right now and I can do it. And it was randomly, it worked out that I had like a $400 thing on Alaska Airlines that I could just like,
oh my god,
so because they screwed up for my other flight, so
yeah,
you know, like
you
when they give you a voucher, so I was like, I have a voucher, I have a free place to stay, why not?
Yeah,
so I went and I ended up being there for almost a month, and so I trained with Japa, and I feel like their game is a lot more focused on Angola style.
I didn't get to play them at all when I was in Hawaii. I think they were on the bateria a lot, one of them have like an injury?
Or? Yeah, so Ada girl. Has an injury for I think both of her knees are injured. And I know one, like she had a surgery, she's recovering.
Yeah, she, when I was there in December, she wasn't playing, she was playing instruments, but I've heard a lot about her game and
she's freaking awesome.
She's super.
It's like, oh, Christmas, okay.
Yeah, like I have to go home, you know, but no, yeah, they were super nice. I just, at one point, I'll probably take another trip down there. I like to train at, I don't know if you've ever done that, just to train at schools, just to go somewhere and train at schools for a week. I think it's better than going to a Huachizato.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't experience, like, you don't experience what the school is actually about. Because when, you know, other messages come, it's like, oh, we want to learn your style. And I'm like,
yeah. Yeah, so it was, I just ended up training with them for that time, and then they ended up randomly having an event that they kind of planned last minute. They had like Mr. Flavio came from Sao Paulo.
Yeah, I saw that
too.
Had,
like from Praha, from New York, and they had like workshops, and it was interesting to kind of experience that game because it's very different from what we do. It was like, you go in, it's like two by two, where we, a lot of it, we do like home
switch
for home
out. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So it's like 2x2, and then people go in, and then it's like the music just goes for that game, kind of, like the music, it starts slow,
yeah,
and then the game is slow, and then it like increases in pace, and then it speeds up, and it's like long, it's like
the long, yeah,
4 minutes
long
or 5 minutes or something, and you're just like dying at the end.
And you're just like close, and it's like butt to butt, leg on leg.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And so that was really interesting. And when I first showed up, it was Pedro had a workshop. Pedro taught a workshop there, so it was like the first day we showed up, it was like my own class. I was taking like my own best class.
I think you ever, was that your first time doing that? Or have you done that before?
I've done that before. Class, it was just like my hota. So I was like, but it was like a hota in my class.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. And then I went to Japa's class. I was like, okay, this is way different. And just like the way he runs his class. And man, I think Kotamasu Japa is just amazing at capoeira. That's like all he does, and he just loves it.
What was different when you, like, were starting the class? Just, like, the way he was running it, was it, like, all sequence-based, or was it just, like, a lot of drills and then sequence?
Like, the warm-up would be lines, doing lines, and then sometimes we do, like, samba in lines.
That's my nightmare.
Yeah, I'm not great at it, but I got better while I was
like,
there.
Like, my thighs just hurt thinking about now.
But yeah, so, like, we would do lines in a warm-up and maybe start with, like, a little bit of samba, and then it would progress into, like, a line of, like, stretching, like, mea lua, set up to something else, into a lunge, stuff like that, and then just, like, the sequence. But it would just be very different from what I'm used to.
Yeah.
And then there was a rainy day where Miyuda and Japa just came and picked me up, and then they took me to their gym and just like did sequences with me, which was freaking amazing.
Yeah.
Like, who does that? Like, who's that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what contramestre will like, go hey, just like just pick up some random student and go and like show you stuff? It was awesome. They're just cool.
From what you've learned in Hawaii for the month, do you think you kind of take some of that style now when you play nowadays?
Yeah, I try to incorporate the, like, not going to ponchi, but kind of, like, faking the ponchi and then switching your arms really fast. Because seriously, my bridge is so horrible. I'm, like, sort of working on my back flexibility right now. I am working on it because even though I'm old-ish for that kind of stuff, I'm still like, dude, gotta improve that because
my shoulders are torn. Yeah. That used to be like my bread and butter, man, was that punch, and I can't even straighten my arms anymore.
Yeah, that's so hard.
It's fucked up, dude. It's really fucked up.
Yeah. So that's probably the number one thing I took out of there is
going under like a Mayaluigi Compasso with that like block and then having the punchy and then switching arms going backwards. So that was, that's like the one thing that I was really like working on all the time with it. Still, I still need the muscle memory for it. And also another thing I took out of there was keeping on attacking if you're in a position of advantage. So like if you, if they do a Mayaluigi Compasso and you go in and do a Capasada, like usually I would just like back off after that. Like I'd be like Capasada and then I'm like, oh,
you're staying on that offense and then you're doing something else.
Yeah, so Chapo was like, well, you already got them, so you just keep on, you know, so you just like, you do a Capasada and then another Mayaluigi Compasso into their face or something. Or whatever, and then like you go into Chisora from there. And just like different ways to kind of get in and out of the person's space, which that's what I feel like I kind of got from the training with them the most, which is kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Like, well, just, it's not something I ever worked on. Like the punchy stuff is just like, I'd just be like, oh no, I'm never doing this. It's going to be like a thing that I never do, but so why not? It opens up your game a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
This,
like, or where do you want to take this?
Honestly, I was just thinking about that the other day. It's like, what?
Was there weed involved?
Oh, maybe. I think it's just,
why am I here?
Why am I here?
Yeah.
It all makes sense. No, I think I just want to be able to play in the Hoda for as long as possible of my life. Just because it just makes me so happy. It makes me happy to like to play in the Hoda and to be in the class and to do music and to like go to events and play with people I don't know. And that's what I find so freaking amazing about it, is just you can go in and communicate, have a conversation and like bond with a complete stranger. In without words, in a way that having something in common with movements and how, and you just like come out of like, there's like games you come out of it, you're like, that was freaking awesome, like I can't believe that we, you know, and I don't even know you and now we're friends, or you know, and it's like, oh, so and so kicked me in the face and now we're friends, and it's just like, it's just so awesome, and I just want to be able to do that as long as possible. And I don't have like, I want to be a best today, or I want to be like, I mean, I think all that stuff just kind of maybe happens or doesn't as like a byproduct of you just being there for long enough and working on it. But yeah, that, like I feel like my end game is to just have it in my life as much as I can and kind of play, just to play.